friends, it's us. I am Steph Beagle.
And I am Lauren Abney.
And this is Well Behaved. We believe balance is a bit overplayed and way overrated. We've embraced finding our perfect blend of wellness with a twist of tequila.
This podcast delivers wellness remixed from face-slapping facials to the ABCs of CBD. Living your best life and finding what's right for you is what it's all about. Let's do this.
It's about damn time that we talked about dating, right?
This is a fucking hot topic.
So I think it's funny because I literally in every episode like find a way to slip in that I'm alone.
But right? Apparently you're supposed to.
But I think I'm supposed to.
Yeah, you have to put it out there.
And I was thrilled to just dedicate our time to talking about dating and talk about my loneliness, you know?
No, I think this was a great episode. We talked about you a lot and I learned
a lot.
A lot.
Right?
I'm 11 years out
of the game. Dating etiquette, like dating's fucking hard. And then dating and then you add dating in COVID. You add dating with the apps. You add all these elements. Like it's just not as fun as maybe it used to be back in the day.
Back in the day. Like I will say though, you've been out there, girl. Like
I tried.
What I appreciate you about you is that you are always open. You will meet people. You're open to being set up. I just think there's a lack of quality humans, but we're still going to go for it.
Yeah. And you know, my whole mantra is like never settle because I've waited this long.
Mm-hmm.
And since my birthday month is coming to a close and I'm older, I'm not going to settle now. But dating is hard and sometimes tech is hard too. And we had some wild tech issues in this one.
It wasn't our best tech.
So just know that we love you. We love your support. And we love the fact that we can't be perfect. So here we go.
I mean, this is basically what dating is like in COVID. Totally. You just have to push through.
Well, we can't wait for you guys to listen. And hopefully by the time this episode ends, you've found someone to be my husband. Can't wait.
Message us.
Looks so pretty and I'm just laughing that this is what we look like. Okay. Well, friends, we welcome the beautiful Brittany Smijak. She is a VIP matchmaker at 3-Day Rule. She has vast experience in the world of matchmaking and a background in social work. That's a hard word, I guess, today, which I've heard and I've actually gotten to experience a little bit, helps you connect with your clients on all of their dating needs and goals. I actually met Brittany when I was getting added to the database for TDR, but we've been, I would say, friends ever since, and I'm still single. So, Britt, I don't know what that says about me, but here we are. Thank you.
Still out there. We're still searching for it.
I appreciate you. Yeah, I tried to think. I was thinking back to when I met you, and I'm like, I don't want to think about that because I've been single for a lot of those years in between. But you know what? I'm glad I met you, and I've literally on every podcast episode remind our listeners that I'm single in case they have like a friend, a brother, a cousin, a son, like who knows, that might want to be my husband, you know?
That's actually a great idea. I mean, one tip that I was going to give is women have to be more proactive in saying, hey, I'm single and I'm looking. So the fact that you're doing that and putting yourself out there is great.
Oh my goodness.
Let the people know.
Let the people know. So friend, dating maybe doesn't seem like wellness, but we can talk about dating well for sure. But we like to start with this question with everyone. And the question is, what does wellness mean to you? What does it look like in your life?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we hear wellness, we immediately want to think about physical wellness and are we fit? Are we active? Do we feel healthy in that way? But there's so many other components to it. I mean, there's emotional wellness, spiritual wellness, social wellness as well. And for me, it's more so just creating a daily routine of feeling good, doing things that makes me feel good. So from the moment I wake up till when I end my day, even if I'm having like the most chaotic day with work and I'm slammed with meetings, it's more so making sure I take the time to meditate or do, you know, 30 minutes of activity or catch up with an old friend or read a book, listen to an interesting podcast. We all have to just stop and take the time to do things that make us feel good, no matter how busy we are with life. And so for me, that's just something that I try to incorporate in my daily life as well.
We love that.
Perfect. You know what? Perfect time to do that when we are quarantined.
Exactly.
A little slowdown. Okay. So let's go back. I am just meeting Brit. So I need to know your background. How did one become a matchmaker?
Yeah. So my background is, as Steph had mentioned, in social work. And from like a young age, I knew I always wanted to work with people. I wanted to change the world, as one would say. And so I got into social work and got my master's in that as well, but didn't make it very long. So I went into nursing home social work, and I wanted to work with kids, ironically enough. So not really sure about that path. But I mean, I don't need to tell you a lot of the details about social work to know that it can be a pretty depressing job at times. So did it for about a year and a half, and then realized it wasn't the right fit for me. So didn't really know what I wanted to do next, but dabbled in HR work for a little bit, also tried technology sales, and turns out I know nothing about technology, and I'm also not the best salesperson either. So that wasn't it. So I'm out to dinner with a girlfriend, and she's telling me that she met with this matchmaker and went on a date with this great guy. And the second that I heard about this being a career, I knew it's what I wanted to do. So I came home and looked up the company and loved everything that I saw about the company on their website, and immediately just started stalking all of the other matchmakers on LinkedIn. Basically, I was really persistent for several weeks, just annoying them, saying, hey, this is my dream job, hire me. And they finally did. And that was 3.5, almost 4 years ago now. So just wish I would have found it sooner.
Ooh, I'm glad they took you. I have a quick follow-up. Prior to being a professional, were you a good matchmaker?
So I've always been a connector, I'll call myself. And I've tried setting up friends in the past. Can't say that I have any like major success stories, and can't lie about that either. Otherwise, my friends will probably chime in. But yeah, I've definitely always been more of a connector and wanting to meet new people. And if I think people are a great match, make the introduction. But no success stories prior to my professional career, unfortunately.
I get that. What is it in the Jewish religion where you're supposed to set up three people and then you get
a hug? I have no idea.
No, you're like set about. For life if you set up. It's like a mitzvah. No.
Sure. Yeah, babe.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. I just have no idea. Now you're like calling me out on my lack of Judaism. So
I don't know. I didn't mean to spotlight you on your lack of knowing the Jewish terms. Okay. So background, I'm not single, married and kind of young, but like married as a child bride, I like to say. So I'm unfamiliar with matchmaking in general. So can you just set the table? If somebody is introduced to a matchmaker, what happens then?
And obviously there's different companies, right? Like you can share yours or you can share generally, but I know that differs too. But just, I think our friends are always like, what the hell? They think of Millionaire Matchmaker.
And, ew, that lady.
Yeah, and that they think of that lady and I'm like, that's not what it's always like. So yeah, Britt, educate us.
Definitely. So there are several different matchmaking companies, not only just within Chicago, but obviously nationwide as well. You know, there are some companies that work strictly with male clients. There are some companies that do just blind matchmaking rather than meeting face to face. Three-day rule matchmaking, we definitely have a more holistic approach. So we do meet each person face to face. With COVID, obviously, that's become more virtual meetings. But still a Zoom call, a FaceTime call. I would meet with each person, learn about them, their background, family dynamics, relationship history, what they're looking for in a partner, their values surrounding religion, politics, and as well as long-term goals as well. And then once I've gotten a really great understanding of who they are and what they're looking for, it's my job to then dive into our database, which we have over 100,000 members nationwide throughout the database. And from there, sort through profiles, get meetings with individuals, and further vet them to make sure that they do fit what my client's looking for. Now, I don't do the date planning. I know that's a question that a lot of people ask. We don't do that part. So we let the two adults kind of take it from there and decide what they want to do for a first date. We can, of course, provide recommendations and things like that. But it's really just my job to follow up after the date to get feedback from both people just to see how it went and if there's any feedback that's helpful for me to jump back into my search while looking for the next match. If there's not going to be a second date, then we go over that as well. And we do work with both male and female clients.
Yeah, people always ask that. They're like, is it just the men who are the clients? I'm like, it doesn't have to be, right? How does someone, when you spoke about the database, so like I sat with you and you asked me 700 questions, I loved it, and I got put into the database. Will you just tell people if they're interested in that, like what that process is like? And obviously there's a fee associated to some of it, but not to other parts of it.
Yeah, definitely. So anyone can actually join our free database. It's a confidential database as well. So only the matchmakers have access to that information. It takes 2 seconds. I could send a link. I usually have it within like my Instagram profile as well. And people just click on that link, take 2 minutes to upload some photos, put in some basic stats, and then they're within our database. From there, the next steps would be our matchmakers would be in touch if after just reviewing the information that you've uploaded, they thought you were a match for one of our clients, then they'd be in touch with that client's profile to see if it's someone you might be interested in meeting. And from there would then schedule the FaceTime interview or a Zoom call with you to learn a little bit more about you.
Awesome. And how many candidates, potential dates, are you typically giving back to one of your clients?
So we guarantee a minimum number. There's of course like no max limit, but we work with clients based on contract length. So 3 months, 6 months. We also have a few full year contracts as well. And we guarantee a minimum number for each contract. Obviously we want people to meet a good quality number of introductions, but it also depends on how long it takes to plan the date and to work with both people's schedules. And then how long they date as well. So we guarantee a minimum of 3 in the 3 months and 6 in the 6 months, but it can be more than that depending on multiple different factors.
It's so wild, right? Mm-hmm. So matchmaking is one way to meet someone, but I think we talked about this, like you gave me a tip that you have to, as women or as men, you have to like put it out there, right? Like you have to like tell people you're open. I mean, I always giggle. Like I walk around the streets. If I met a stranger and they're like, how are you? I'd be like, I'm single. Do you have anyone to meet me? Like, but it's true. It's like, if you don't put it out there and you don't ask, then a lot of times you don't receive. Now when people tell me, I often get someone telling me that like I'm a catch, and anyone who says that to me, I'm like, that's really nice. Can you send me 3 people that you want to set me up with? Like let's just one. Yeah, just 1 to 3, you know. But Britt, what are some other, you know, obviously outside of matchmaking, what are some other general tips that you would share with our friends when it comes to dating?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make, especially in the beginning stages of dating, is relying so much on the messaging and texting back and forth. Some people are horrible texters. And also when it comes to texting, you can't really gauge a person's personality. You know, some people are short in their text messages. They're not using exclamation points or emojis, and they can come off a bit dry. And because of that, sometimes it doesn't really portray who they are, and it can make someone feel less excited about meeting them, or as though their personality doesn't jive well with theirs. And so it's always better to limit the amount of texting or messaging back and forth on the dating apps and really just go for making the plan. Mm. You know, once you match, you both already know that you're mutually excited about meeting one another. Otherwise you wouldn't have swiped right. So rather than going back and forth and trying to tell each other your life stories, meet in person, schedule the date, and wait to do that then. Because it just takes so much time when you can make it such an easier process.
I love that. So I'm a little psychotic, and for good reason potentially, because I've definitely been catfished before. But what are your thoughts on before you make that plan, like someone, and again, gender neutral, doesn't matter. I don't believe in like I mean, I'd like a man to call me, but that's neither here nor there. But picking up the phone, because like for me, I just get nervous. Like, I don't know, there's something about the texting and not actually hearing someone's voice that makes it feel like a little scarier. What's your POV on that?
You're saying that you get more afraid by texting than actually picking up the phone?
Yeah, like I'd rather, if I'm going to meet someone, I kind of like, I'm fine texting, but then like before I actually meet them, I want them to like ask me out or like pick up the phone and call me first.
So it's different for everyone. I mean, I do have female clients that have said, you know, I'd rather not get on the phone at all because they find that a bit awkward.
Totally.
And they'd prefer everything to stay via text. So what I would do prior to setting two people up is maybe get their opinion on that. Or do they prefer text? Do they prefer having a phone call first? Because since each person is different, it is good to just get everyone's perspective first and not just make assumptions. But for the most part, like in my opinion, I would tell my male clients especially to call the woman first and just have like a short phone call, whether it's even just 5 minutes, just to make a plan and say hello, introduce yourself a little bit. Doesn't have to be long, but that way they feel a little bit more comfortable meeting in person for the first time.
Ugh, I'm so into that. I'm constantly like, Beaks, I need this person's email. I need to know their home phone number. I need a picture. I need potentially a mugshot. I want to make sure you're safe. I don't know who this is. Where are you going? I think it can be a little scary. And at least with a phone call, I would prefer it to be a FaceTime. You are assured that they're a real human.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to think about. But after you get catfished one time and you were standing outside waiting for this mystery man to pick you up, like,
oof.
And then you start crying for days after. But no, it is a scare, like, not to be doomsday, but it's definitely dating in the age of, you know, apps, and then dating in the age of COVID is like a whole nother thing. So that's like, let's talk about good old COVID. So Britt, I've heard some wild horror stories, if you will, about like dating during COVID. I've taken a little bit of a backseat, I would say, in that, but I have friends who like went on walk dates and they would like elbow each other to say hello. Like that's just like the whole, like, I don't know, any type of vibe or romantic gesture, I feel like, is gone dating in COVID. But what have you been telling, you know, your clients or your friends on best ways to date and cope during COVID?
So surprisingly, this is actually a great time for dating. And we've just gotten that impression from all of the people that have been signing up within the database and people just being more committed to finding a relationship.
Fair.
Now I know that, you know, meeting in person and like what to do and do we hug or do we give a handshake? Like it's all so awkward and we're kind of just all like laughing along with one another when it comes to that though. Right. But in terms of like it being a good time to date, so many people that went through the last quarantine and did it single are realizing, okay, I don't want to do that again. And they're starting to prioritize what's most important to them in their lives. And dating is really making its way to the top of the list after having gone through that experience.
That's fair. I think Lauren and I joke that we don't like to talk about like the W word, which is winter, especially in Chicago, even really fall, because we're just like finally starting to get like our groove of taking walks and being outside, right?
Yeah, having real things to do.
So I will tell you, the idea of like having to go back into quarantine,
it's quite scary.
Alone is like, we just don't talk
you
about
better
it.
Swamp dunk before.
Excuse me? What did you just say?
You know, swamp dunk is when you go around the bar at the end of the night to grab the rogue person to take home.
Swamp dunk. Brittany, have you ever heard of that in your life?
What was it called?
We called it swamp donking.
Swamp donking. Okay. You should definitely use
that. Yeah. We would make fun of our guy friends in college where you'd be like, oh, you were just swamp donking.
Okay. This is wild. Well, I will definitely put that in my bag of tricks.
But honestly, you know, if you need to have a quarantine partner and you need a warm body to lay next to it, I don't disagree with the idea.
Yeah, that's fair. But then you have to start thinking about like,
okay, well, I'll rename it.
Yeah, maybe we rename it. But okay, so let's talk about, this is going to be a fun game. I love to play games. So Britt, this is like dating rules. I want to break them down because like, I know that there's not one right answer, but I want to get your thoughts since you're such an expert. I'm going to list out a rule and you're going to tell me yes or no or thoughts. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Get excited. Kissing on the first date. Yay or nay?
Do you want me to elaborate or do you want just a yay or nay?
I want context.
I want some context. Yeah.
Okay. So I think you're not going to like my answer.
Oh, probably. No.
She's a no.
I mean, it's so different for each couple. I think that first off, my initial response would be yay. I mean, if the date goes well. Okay. We all want it to go well. And if it does, then why not? I definitely think that you should go for it. And for those that are like unsure during the date, you can definitely pick up on someone's body language and their cues on whether or not you think that they'd be wanting to kiss on the first date. So if you're getting those cues, then totally go for it.
I'm into that.
Okay. So that was a yay. I was really nervous where she was going with that one. Okay. Oh yes. Go ahead, babe.
Okay. Well, I have one.
Okay.
It seems like everybody only does the drink thing, but are you allowed to have dinner as people are older and more serious? Is dinner a real thing because you've potentially already vetted the person? Are you drinks or can you go full dinner?
I always recommend drinks, especially for low a first commitment. Date. You can throw in like drinks and apps, and no, it's not because of the cost of dinner, but more so like if you know that it's not going well and that this is not the right person for you, it's kind of awkward to be stuck into that like full dinner commitment. But one thing that I will say when getting just drinks, especially if you're doing like a Friday night, 7 p.m. date, let the person know that you're getting just drinks. Because sometimes that can run into a really sticky situation as well for my couples. Because, you know, one person shows up really hungry and they assume they're going to get dinner because it's 7 o'clock on a Friday. And then, you know, the other person isn't hungry and it's just
it's such awkward. A sticky. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you pretend that you have plans after so that you can get out of it?
I mean, that's definitely one thing that you can do. But I would always just recommend to everyone that if it's just drinks and not dinner, then make sure that both members of this date know this is just a drinks date.
That's totally fair. I will say, not to contradict, but to give an opposite argument, if you will, with me, when I go on drinks, there's really no like hard end, right? Like, so like when you go to dinner and you're like done eating, like in theory, your meal ends and you feel at least like you know that there's going to be an end. If you go on drinks, I feel like sometimes you're like, it's that awkward moment of like, do you want another one? And like, I've definitely been in a situation before where they're like, do you want another one? And I'm like, no, which I thought would be a really good sign that like, I don't want to spend any more time with you. And they're like, cool, I'll get one. And you're like, okay, no, like, I don't want to spend more time with you. So what are your thoughts on my other argument, I guess?
Yeah. So I think that you make a good point with like dinner being kind of a hard stop to the evening. And I think that you can handle just drinks, whether the date's going good or it's not going so great, you can handle it in two different ways. If it's a bad date and you want to get out of there, if he asks if you want another drink, you could say, you know what? No, like I have a pretty busy morning tomorrow. Like it's been lovely meeting you, but I'm going to cap it at one tonight and call it a night. And then he should definitely get the sign that he should not be getting another drink. Like you want to leave. And then if you're having a great time and you're also sensing that he or she is as well, then you always could recommend getting dinner following the drinks as well. Like it doesn't have to be an awkward, like, well, do we just stay here and keep drinking until 3 a.m.? Like, I mean, you can always turn the evening into something else.
Okay. I like that. I'm into that. Okay. Do or don't talk about past relationships on date one?
Definitely do not.
How she did that.
Really?
Do not. Okay. Tell us why.
So I think that it's fine if they casually ask and you want to say, yeah, you know, I was in a really long-term relationship, or maybe I haven't even really dated that much at all. It's fine to give like a very short and simple answer. But when it comes to the details of past relationships, don't get into it on a first date. That's definitely something that you want to discuss later, but it's never really the best time to do so on a first date. A lot of the times you're not in those past relationships because he wasn't the right partner, things didn't work out. And so a lot of times when we bring that up on a first date, it can make us seem very negative. And no one should ever want to talk like poorly about their exes on the first date either, because that also gives a really bad impression.
I get that. Because also you do not want the person being like, oh, this nutbag is really still stuck on her last relationship. What about the fact that if somebody is, say, divorced or has young kids? Or when any kids.
Yeah, like when do they reveal that, I guess?
Yeah, so I think that that's fine. And I mean, depending on where you're meeting this person as well, at least in our service and then on most of the dating apps, like listing whether or not you're divorced, you have kids is one of the first stages of setting up a profile. So usually if you're meeting someone that way, then you would know. If it's through like a mutual connection or like somebody you meet out and about on your own, like maybe that doesn't come up prior to the first date. And then I think it's fine to like mention that you have kids or you've been married before, because if you hide those things for too long, then it looks like you're just trying to withhold that information and it can come off as kind of like sneaky. So I would definitely be upfront about that, but you don't have to get into the details of your relationship with your ex-wife or ex-husband.
I'm like laughing because I am not divorced and I don't have any children, but like we know that I love details. So like I'm just like replaying all my first dates back and I'm like, fuck, okay, I'll work on that.
Because if somebody was like, I'm divorced, you'd be like,
yeah, totally.
And I can't ask you any questions because Britt said I can't.
Yeah, Brittany said I can't. But no, I think truthfully, like it's not like I don't want to use the word interrogate, but I definitely.
Are you kidding? I would definitely use the word interrogate.
Okay, so I'm going to work on that. We all have things to work on. Maybe that's why I'm still single. Brittany, who pays on the first date?
The guy, definitely. And I know that roles are changing when it comes to male versus female in the dating world. And it's great that things are. It's great that we're starting to look at one another's as more equal. But we all still, in many ways, love the traditional norms. And women, as much as they want to be treated as an equal, still love a little bit of chivalry and to be courted. And so for the first date, the guy should definitely pick up the tab. And I don't think that that has to be like a pattern or a routine. I think it's great if like second or third date, the girl wants to buy the drinks or whatever it is that you guys are planning to do. But first date, always the guy, every time.
Okay. But what can a girl do that's maybe out of a traditional male role? Because we're just boss babe. So I think at some point, you know, can the girl pick the location? And I guess
that's it.
What are the other things that,
yeah, like Brittany, what can a girl do to feel, to not demasculate? What's the word? Demasculate? That's not it.
It's not it, but it sounds as if we're in the right direction.
Something. What you're saying, so it works.
Okay, perfect. As long as you get it. But yeah,
what can emasculate?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, sure. But what can they do to make a guy not feel like he has a small penis without like just taking over, but still like little gestures? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes to making plans for the first date, and kind of like what I was saying earlier, women have to be more proactive. And I know for most women, we feel like a guy should chase us, and if he's interested, he should put in the effort. But a lot of the reasons why sometimes, you know, these relationships don't work out when we're meeting on the dating apps and things such as that is we're constantly waiting as women for the men to always make the move and to make the plans and to ask to see us again. And men are also afraid of rejection. I mean, they don't want to be shot down. They don't want to be turned away because they definitely have been in the past. And so if they're not really sensing that a woman is interested, a lot of the times they will hold back from asking for a second date or for wanting to see you again. So for women, like you can be more proactive and upfront. You can, like you mentioned, be the one to actually initiate plans for the first date, say where you want to go. After the first date, be the first one to reach out and say, hey, I had a really great time. I'd love to see you again. Or if it's been a couple of days and you haven't heard from him, but you did have a nice time, don't be afraid to be the one to reach out first and let him know that and let him know that you're interested in seeing him again.
Okay. So I love that, but I'm going to challenge you. So I have the movie in my head. He's just not that into you, right? Like, I feel like maybe it's just a me thing, but if myself and a guy, we leave a date, right? Like a lot of times I'll text when I get home and say like, dinner was so much fun. Like if I liked him, obviously. Well, even if I don't.
She also loves reflecting.
I love reflecting. So I get home.
I get these texts too.
And I reflect. And then, I only text you because I don't tell most people until I go on like 7 dates
with someone. No, I mean when you and I have a date.
Oh yeah, totally. When we have a date, I reflect. Fair. So I get home, I reflect, and I typically write like some type of thank you and like had a great time. You know, nothing like too aggressive. But what's interesting is I feel like if it's been a couple days and I haven't heard from a guy, I feel like that's like that means he doesn't want to see me again, right? Like, I feel like I've kind of conditioned myself, and a lot of my friends have, that if he likes you, you'll know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think to a certain extent, what you're saying is accurate. Like, if a guy is interested, he will pursue you and he will be consistent with his approach. But at the same time, I think it's great that you mentioned after a date, if you did have a great time, then you let him know that. Because so many times we even hold back from showing that side as well. And if a guy doesn't get any sort of impression that you're interested, then he's probably going to be too afraid to reach back
out. Super valid. I love that. I think that's really...
Like, you've already put in the intention and said, I had a good time. I'm sharing my feedback with you. And so then if you don't hear in a couple of days, I think you probably can assume that maybe it wasn't magic.
Yeah, I like that.
Versus if he's just sitting there questioning the whole time, like, I set up the first date, I said goodbye to her, and now I have to be the one that reaches out again. I can completely understand that from the male perspective or... alpha perspective.
Yeah, totally.
Try not to use gender roles.
Fair. Okay. One other question on that though, Brittany. So this is like such a dorky, like I'm a salesperson who needs to get feedback. So like, let's say I put out my intentions or I share my feelings that I like someone and then, you know, there's maybe he responds, maybe he doesn't, but like you've got a good vibe. Maybe you go on two dates. Like what is the right way to get feedback? I know that's a weird thing. Like if it doesn't move forward, I guess it's a two-pronged question. I'm really going to throw you for a loop. So like, A, is it weird to get feedback or do you just move on? And B, after, like, is there a number of dates that you feel like you have to like break up and say something versus like ghosting? Do you know what I mean?
Ooh, that's valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's such an interesting question, both them. And with our service in terms of 3-day real matchmaking, we avoid both of those things, right? So we get the feedback from both members and leave it up to them whether or not they want to share the feedback with one another or if they want us to do it. And then ghosting is not really an option in that case because both people know how the other person feels. I realize that everyone's working with a matchmaker, so you don't have the luxury of that. But when it comes to whether or not, so the first question was how to get feedback from the guy.
Yep.
I think that it's totally fine as long as you're going to be okay with not possibly getting a response from him.
Yep.
Or not liking what he has to say and being able to just kind of roll with like constructive feedback, then it's completely fine to reach out and just say like, hey, like, you know, I'm getting a sense that maybe we're not on the same page. I was really having a great time getting to know you. You know, if you're not really feeling the same, would love to just know like what happened. Is there anything in particular? And it's fine to ask that. He's either going to answer you or he's not. And like I said, either way, you just have to know before sending that text or that message that you're strong enough to handle whatever the response is going to be.
Right.
Like, and if he does it, he's a coward.
Yeah. He's probably not going to write back to you. It's because you're too beautiful. Right. Like, you have to be ready to like, I think about that all the time. Like, cause I just like, again, because I'm a very
communicative
human who likes to interrogate people. You know, if I feel something and the person doesn't feel it in return, like I'm kind of like, what the fuck, dude. But if he came back and was like, you were too ugly for me, like, I don't know if that would make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I maybe wouldn't have wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the feedback you get all the time.
Yeah, or maybe it's that you're too aggressive. Like, very possible. Okay, so agreed. And then what about the question on, you know, I think it's always this funny thing. Like, once you pass, like, in my mind, like, 3 or 4 dates, I feel like you have to almost have a conversation if you don't move forward. But, like, 1 to 3 dates is sort of like that gray area. Tell me what you feel about that.
So, I mean, I obviously feel a bit different about it just because it is part of like our normal process. And while some people maybe don't feel like a conversation has to be had after just the first date, it's always great for like both people to know rather than just, you know, sitting around looking at your phone, wondering if he or she is going to text or she's not. Like, there's almost this comfort in knowing if someone's not interested, that they're not interested. And of course, if you've only gone on one date and then neither one of you ever reach back out to communicate again, I think that kind of just speaks for itself that really neither one of you were feeling it. But I don't think that it has to be a necessary step after like the first date, potentially after the second date, especially if the other person reaches back out to you to schedule a third date, then I would just say like, look, I've had a really great time getting to know you. Like, I'm not sure that this is necessarily a romantic fit, but I think that you're like such a great guy slash girl. And, you know, I wish you the best. You can always just send like a polite text like that. It's never a good feeling to be on the other end and like be reaching out to someone and just getting crickets. So
for sure.
I always say just like, do the right thing, be nice and send some sort of message or reply so you don't leave the other person hanging.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think it's good to think about what it's like. We've all been on both sides of it. So think about what it's like to be on the side where, you know, you're not wanted or you're not, you know, it wasn't your choice. So I try to remember that to try to at least like wrap things up in a nice little
bow. I'm sure it's all karmic. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, totally. Don't you miss this stuff, babe? You can't even relate to like.
I have no idea.
The stories that I tell you, you just like look at me like I have horns.
I know, but it's so interesting. Okay, so let's end this rapid fire that had a lot of context with one final question because I think everyone wants to know. After how many dates can you bang it out?
Oh my God. Or I was going to say like make love, like lovely love. And you're like, let's bang it out and slong donk or whatever. Okay. Britt, how many dates until you can make love?
I mean, it's no surprise that you're probably not going to love this answer either, but it depends on the couple. It totally depends on the couple. I mean, we have clients that definitely had sex on the first date that ended up getting married. We have clients that waited months until they had, and they got married. So I think that it depends on the couple. One thing that I will say is like, I would never want a female to feel like in order to really get a guy's attention or make him really fall for her, that she should have to choose to do that if she doesn't feel like completely safe or comfortable in doing so in the first date. So that would be like my only piece of advice to women, is to not feel like pressured to do it just to win a guy over, because if he likes you, he's going to wait. And if he tries and you're not feeling it, you can just tell him like, hey, I think you're really sexy. And like, I look forward to the time that we do get to do this, but like, I'm just not ready yet. And like, that is going to boost his confidence and just make him more excited for the time that it does happen. So it's totally fine to wait too.
My mom will like that answer. No, I appreciate that. Okay. One bonus question and then we can wrap things up, but tell our friends, and I kind of brought this up at the beginning and I do it in a really like aggressive way, but what can people do, men or women, right now, if they are single and they can't sign up for a matchmaking service, they want to kind of activate their, I was going to call it their community, but their friends and their network, activate their community to set them up or to think of them. Like, what can they do in a way? Like one day, Brittany, I literally thought about putting on Instagram, like single and looking like send me resumes. And I'm like, that's so fucking embarrassing and like super desperate. But what can our friends do to like put it out there in different and unique ways?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not that this is very unique, and sorry if you already said this not being an option, but there are multiple dating apps, and yes, they can be a nightmare. I know as a matchmaker, I think that like our process and service is definitely better than the apps, but like I myself met my fiance on the app. So like they do work. So that's a great resource for people that are single and interested in meeting others. There's obviously, you know, meeting in the park. I know how tacky that sounds, but like going even into a coffee shop, if you see the guy that's standing in line before you waiting to order his coffee or is waiting for his coffee, don't be afraid to like strike up a conversation with him. I feel like a broken record, just kind of going back to the whole, you have to be proactive, but you do have to be proactive and you can't be afraid to kind of put yourself out there and give it a shot. Talk to the random stranger at the bar or at the park, at the grocery store, or even at the gym. And then, you know, take your friends and your family members up on the opportunity to connect you with people that they think you could be a great fit for. I know sometimes like we see a profile and our first impression might be like, I don't know if this is really my person, but you have to give people a shot. And that's definitely one of the biggest struggles with the dating apps, is it holds us back from, you know, meeting people that we don't think will be a fit based off of like two photographs and like a couple of bullet points, but we don't know anything about that person. So you have to just go into dating with a bit more of an open mind than what, you know, society is currently trained us to have.
Okay. And well, I am not the single one, but I have a tip of advice. So I really love to be the wing woman. So maybe find a wing woman, right? Or have somebody that also is there. You know, I go break the ice, you know, come on in with a little
She tries to have game. And
I don't even know how to flirt. It's so embarrassing. But basically, I just go in and I break the ice. And then I say, look at my beautiful friend. So that can happen, I'm sure, at a coffee shop. But are there special places in Chicago where you've found that people are meeting great humans, or, you know, a good percentage of this population is based in Chicago? So give us a spot, at least one, where you think that major matchmaking happens.
So, I mean, from personal experience and places that I've had a lot of success in meeting singles, because it is a big part of my job to get out there. I mean, I was doing it a lot more prior to COVID, but it is a big part of my job to get out there and meet new people and recruit singles within the system. And, you know, a few places in particular that like are always kind of my go-tos are, I mean, one is Hampton Social, especially during like happy hour. I feel like that place just is constantly crammed with like both men and women, coworkers coming from work. Another great spot is the Hoxton Hotel in the West Loop, or even like right now how the Gold Coast and the West Loop neighborhoods just have it set up where everyone's seated outdoors on the streets. And so there's constantly people walking about and mingling. I mean, it's a great place to just kind of walk through. And if you see a cute guy or a cute girl, go up and approach them. Or as you mentioned, have your wing woman or your wingman do so. There are still a lot of options, even with COVID, although I know we feel like it's a bit limited right now.
I feel like you at one point told me Gibson's Italia, and whenever I go there, there's like really hot humans. Yeah. So that's, I'm going to add that one. I will also just PSA, like you should try to find a wing woman who isn't as pretty as the one I have, or you, Britt, because then when they meet me, they're like, well, fuck, I thought,
please,
I wish she was single. So I would say try to find an uglier, wing woman would be my PSA. Well, we love and appreciate you. And I think that this topic is the absolute best and worst at the same exact time. And I think it's a really important time to take a moment to let everyone know I have a lot of love to give. I'm extremely single, and please just find me a human to love.
Submit your eligible bachelors through Well Behaved Podcast
or slide into our DMs or find me, SBeaks, at Instagram. No, Britt, if people are interested in learning more about matchmaking, what's the best place to find you or find 3-Day Rule?
Yeah, definitely. So they can look up 3-Day Rule matchmaking at 3dayrule.com. Also, as mentioned, I usually have a link for the sign up within my social media pages. If they can figure out how to spell my last name, they should be able to find me.
Totally.
So just online on our website, or they can go directly through my sign up link as well.
Amazing. Well, this has been entirely fun, and I could talk about this all day long.
We probably will.
Well, we appreciate you, friend, and we just can't wait to go to Gibson's Italia with you soon.
Yes, I would love that.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you.
Hopefully next time I see you, I'm going to be like married or something, you know?
I know that you will.
Okay, amazing. Thanks, Britt.
Friends, this has been fun. Thanks for spending some quality time with us. If you need more of us in your life, we totally get it. Follow us on Instagram at Wellbehaved Podcast.
Also, we aren't selfish. Tell us what you need and want to learn more about by sending us a note at wellbehavedpodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs. We prefer that anyway. Until next time, stay well and somewhat behaved.